בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about my, just a brief story, is really starting out talking about my parents a little bit. My parents, who were the founders of Beth Hillel, were not what you would call people of great faith before finding their Jewish Messiah. They just weren't. Why? Because they relied on themselves. That's a lot of people today, y'all. In fact, that's most people today. Most people rely on themselves. That was them. My father, a blessed memory, dad had a solid job, and they lived their lives mostly for themselves. This is just what they did. It was not out of, per se, intentional evil intent. It's just the way the world was and the way the world is for people who don't know God. But I am going to tell you something, friends. When they discovered the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, their lives changed. I'm talking about, well, this is one of those dramatic changes. Dramatic change. You hear stories about people who had just absolute 180 transformations. My folks were in that category. I mean, very, very much changed. One of the ways that you could easily tell about how much they had changed was in their habits. Their habits changed. And in particular, from parties and a lot of alcohol and selfishness, from that, which is very intended to be very self-gratifying, from that to 3 times a week being in God's house, plus going to discipleship for hours once a week. Now, listen, I'm not exaggerating in the slightest when I say this. I remember I was a little, but I mean, unless they were sick or unless they were out of town, 4 times per week. We were either in God's house or the home of their discipler. 4 times a week, every week, every week. And it was a schlep. We lived down in the south side in Jonesboro for a long time. The place we went to was Midtown. You know, it was a schlep to go that many times, for sure. And I'm not talking about 4 times a week for a couple months. I'm talking about 4 times a week with an intense focus on the Lord and going somewhere to spend time with Him, not for a few months, year after year after year after year after year. I mean, without fail. I mean, you had to be, I mean, you know, as a little kid, you know, sometimes you don't always feel like getting up and going every time. It's like, hold on, are you sick? Dottie Films, you got a fever? No fever? Let's go. Yeah, you know, he's respectful. Wanted to make sure there's no contagiousness here. But beyond that, let's go. Because, you know, you can make every excuse in the book. Let's go. Absolutely hardcore sold out. Really. People wonder, how did this happen? You know, all this and what the Lord has done. you had some seriously sold out people who understood how God had transformed their lives. Amen. Ooh, boy, it's good. Matthew chapter 7. Listen, what do we have here? We have here a piece of fruit, a fruta. We read in the scriptures, it's actually in the Bible, that during Sukkot we are to worship him with a wave offering of the lulav and the etrog being the fruit. A piece of fruit caused Adam and Eve to fall from the garden. Fruit can be very powerful. Fruit is very important. Fruit. We're going to talk about this a little bit today. Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Grapes aren't gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, are they? Then skipping down to verse 20, so then you will recognize them by their fruit. See, you got to understand, you know, is that if it's some kind of weed, it's not going to bear you an etrog. No. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. And you can see, is it bearing fruit? Is it bearing good fruit? That tells you about the tree. Is it a healthy tree? Is it a tree that's producing good things? Or is it something that needs to be cut down? Very interesting. Yeshua warns us. He tells us similarly with people. With people, it's the same principle. He tells us to be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. Inspect the fruit. It's so interesting. If you are in Israel before Sukkot, and you go to the shuk, and where all the ultra-Orthodox are buying their lulav and etrog, it's so interesting to watch. You can actually see this online on YouTube, but you see when they're looking at the etrog, they inspect it, dude. I'm talking some of them pull out like a loop. You know, there's one of these things that the jewelers use. When working on fine jewelry, they'll pull out a loop and or a magnifying glass, and they're examining that etrog. Okay, hold on. Let's see. Are there any imperfections in this? No, that's not the one. I'll take this one. But, I mean, they inspect the fruit, dude. They want a good one. This is what they do. Yeshua tells us we should be fruit inspectors to examine the fruit of a person. He says, by their fruit, you will know them. In fact, he says it twice. By their fruit, you will know them. It's very interesting. So it reveals the heart of a person based on their fruit. Not just what they say, but what they do. What fruit is coming out of them, right? And now that's well and good and true and fair. But by extension, of course, this has to apply to us too. By our fruit, we will be known. So what kind of fruit do you have? I mean, this is a question. What kind of fruit do we have? We're supposed to be focusing on fruit here during Sukkot. What is the fruit that's coming from your life? Leviticus 23, please, in the Torah. It is Sukkot, Chag Sukkot Sameach to everyone. I hope you're all enjoying your sukkah at home and that you are enjoying this festival and this feast. It is absolutely beautiful. Listen to what it says. This is where we get the lulav and etrog from. Leviticus 23:39. So on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, okay, there's a harvesting of fruits, you notice. When you've gathered in the fruits of the land, you are to keep the feast of Adonai for 7 days. The first day is to be a Shabbat rest, and the eighth day will also be a Shabbat rest. That's Shemini Atzeret, coming up Monday night to Tuesday. And on the first day, you are to take choice fruit of trees. That's this. Branches of palm trees, right in the center, and then boughs of leafy trees on one of the sides, and willows of the brook, the other side, and rejoice before the Adonai, your God, for 7 days. This is why we wave the lulav and the etrog. It tells us very specifically even what kind of things to use when we worship and celebrate God here on Sukkot. Okay, now it says, after you've gathered the crops of your land and your fruits, take choice fruit from trees, peri etz hadar. Okay, the fruit of the beautiful tree. Sukkot has a big focus on the final harvest, which only makes sense if you were to go to Israel right now, man. They'd be cranking the final harvest of the year. That's what's going on right now. And fruits are the final part of that harvest. It just makes sense. A grain of wheat or barley, something, can grow very quickly. It's very small and it's just the little seeds and stuff. But to grow one of these things, it takes time. It makes sense that fruit is the final harvest thing that's harvested. Okay. And so that's what we have on Sukkot. From grapes to pomegranates to olives, whatever. These were critical to making it through the winter. So Sukkot, in part, celebrates the fruit harvest, specifically. Exodus 23, please. Exodus 23. It's interesting. We see here what we are to do. It says in Exodus 23, verse 16 in the Torah, also you are to observe the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors that you sow in the field, as well as the feast of ingathering at the end of the year. That's where we're at right now, when you gather your crops from the field. As a side note, that's the biblical basis where we get that it is that Rosh Hashanah is one of the New Year's, because it specifically says the feast of ingathering is at the end of the year. And so there is a biblical basis for that, just in case you ever wondered. We see here that Sukkot goes by the name Chag HaAsif, the Feast of Ingathering, or the Harvest Festival. In fact, Deuteronomy, you don't need to turn to it, 16, says that Sukkot is celebrated after you gather your produce, and God will bless your harvest, and your joy will be complete. Which makes sense. I mean, think about it. If you're a farmer, I know many farmers are in here. But if you're a farmer, man, it's got to be like, you know, it's interesting. Maybe it has parallels about being a rabbi, because it just dawned on me. But when you're a farmer, it's got to be like the greatest feeling in the world when you finish the final harvest of the year. Because, you know, bugs and weeds and drought, there are so many things, animals that can destroy your harvest. So many things. But man, you know, you got to be like, if you're a farmer, the last maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks before the harvest, you're probably just going, Oh man, I just wish the harvest would get here, because it's all looking good and I just don't want to lose it. I don't want anything to get in the way. You know, you got to have that. You can imagine that, even if you're not a farmer. The reason I say there's some parallels is for a rabbi, man, making it through this fall holiday season, there's so many holidays and things like that. At the end of it, man, after Simchat Torah, you just go like, whoo, okay, praise God, man. Yes, thank you, Lord. You know, it was a blessing, but it's a little bit of a relief at the same time, too, especially if you're a rabbi. I think you can understand that. Okay. So on Sukkot, we're focusing on the fruit harvest, the final big harvest, the harvest of fruit. But remember earlier we read that Yeshua said, rightly warned us, really, to be fruit inspectors, to examine fruit, the fruit of others and our own fruit. And we know from Adam that all fruit is not the same. Galatians chapter 5. So let's talk just a little bit more about fruit today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You should know this. This is the special, special kind of fruit called the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience. Just testing you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I was just testing you on that one. I was just, hey, see, you're ready for me to move on, weren't you? You see what I did there? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Ruach, let us also walk by the Ruach. Ah, okay, the fruit of the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. Wow, the fruit of the Spirit requires crucifying the flesh, we read in the scripture. So on the Sukkot, I have a question for everybody here. As we are celebrating the harvest festival for fruit, shouldn't we also have a harvest of spiritual fruit in our lives? Somebody say amen. Yeah. I mean, we just read about the fruit of the Spirit. We're celebrating the harvest of fruit. This is a lot about fruit here on Sukkot. We probably would be good to examine our own lives and say, are we bearing a lot of good godly fruit? Only makes sense. Somewhat interesting today. Today, I'm going to overlap series. You're going to get what do they call that in the Marvel universe, a crossover or something like that, you know, or in the TV series when one series intersects with another for just a minute, you know, it's, you know, Gomer Pyle on the Andy Griffith Show and then on, okay, you understand what I'm saying here. Okay. We got a overlapping on a series going on today. I don't think it's ever happened to me before. I don't do very many series. Why? Because we've been speaking about some of the quotes of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon, in a series called The Wisdom of Solomon. But in addition, over the last many years, I've been going through different fruit every year on Sukkot, on the Shabbat on Sukkot. And we are combining these today in a very powerful series, continuing. So today I want to focus some time speaking about the seventh fruit. The seventh fruit. If you are like, wow, the seventh fruit, why the seventh? Well, the last 6 years on Sukkot, I've talked about each of the first six. The first one, second, third, fourth, last year was the sixth fruit we spoke about. And so we're up to the seventh year. I've got a couple more years in this series. See, these mega, you know, leaders, they do series that are a few weeks long. I do like 9 year series. Thank you very much. Okay. The seventh fruit in the fruit of the Spirit, friend, is the fruit of faithfulness. 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 We need a harvest of faithfulness in our lives. Pistis or pistis is the Greek word for faithfulness here. Now, it's interesting because it's listed as the fruit of the Spirit, and I've always thought of faithfulness. Whenever you hear the word faithfulness, I always kind of thought about it, and boy, we're gonna dig deep into this fruit here today and into the word and everything. When I used to think about the word faithfulness, I thought about it being purely being unwavering, faithful, purely unwavering. That's kind of what faithfulness was. And there's elements of that for sure in the meaning, but if we dig a little bit, it's actually pretty interesting. The Greek word here for faithfulness occurs many, 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 many times in the New Covenant. But it's almost always otherwise simply translated as faith. Just simply translated as faith. Now, when I think about that, it changes the way I think about the fruit just a little bit. But it does make a bit more sense in that it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, because if it's totally dependent, underline totally, if it's totally dependent upon our own actions, it's not really something that's from above. But given the context, what faithfulness is taking faith and putting it into action. Faithfulness. faithfulness, taking faith and putting it into action. Now, if you examine the word pistis, pistis, which means faithfulness, the roots of the Greek word faithfulness is actually persuaded. Not exactly what you would think. Faithfulness means persuaded. You have to kind of dig a little bit to understand the connection here. And the word faithfulness also directly relates to the word trust. So the fruit of faithfulness is actually more of a gift of being fully persuaded by God and trusting in Him. Hello. See, faithfulness is beyond merely belief. It's beyond just believing. Faithfulness as a fruit is seen as a state of being when one is fully persuaded by God and therefore would act in accordance with that confidence and trust in Him. Acting out of trust because you've been divinely persuaded. This is going deep on it here, what faithfulness is. Because friends, what we should be seeking to do here is having more of this fruit in our lives, right? The fruit of the Spirit, we all want it. Faithfulness is one of them. Well, let's understand what it means a little bit more so that we can seek to have it more in our lives. Acting out of trust in God because you've been divinely persuaded. Whenever I do a word study in my own studies like this, one of the things I love to do, and I think especially we as a Messianic Jewish congregation can have some wonderful insights taken out of this. I recommend that you do it too if you enjoy word study, is to see what Jewish scholars felt that this word represented in the Tanakh, which you can tell by looking at the Septuagint. Because this reveals best, because the authors of the New Covenant, of course, the writers, were Messianic Jewish believers, okay? And so they had a Jewish mindset, and they would be familiar with the Septuagint, okay? The Greek translation of the Tanakh, okay, which was done by Jewish scholars. And so when they are writing Greek words, they are reflecting a Jewish understanding of those Greek words as painted by the Septuagint. And so it reveals their mindset when they use certain words. And so what do we see that this Greek word means if we look in the Hebrew? The word is emunah, which probably makes a lot of sense to you. Emunah, faith or faithfulness. Let's go to Habakkuk, please, chapter 2. Faith or faithfulness, emunah. That's a beautiful word to know, y'all. Faith, emunah. Be'evrit in Hebrew. Same word as we read about in the New Covenant, as one of the fruits of the Spirit, effectively. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says something very powerful, and I'm going to actually switch over and read it in the NASB. It says, "Behold, as for the impudent one, his soul is not right within him." Okay, so the bad person, his soul isn't right. "But the righteous one will live by his faith." Woo! There's something about being, if you love the Lord, you're going to live by faith, live by your faith. Same word here, which totally parallels with Galatians, describing it as a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of faithfulness describes how we live our lives, right? What does it say? The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. Okay, we see all these things that are fruits that are of the Spirit, that if you have a lot of these in your life, it shows you are living right for God. You're living righteously. Similarly, it's the same message in Habakkuk chapter 2 where it says, the righteous one will live by faith. In other words, their faith fruit is how they live. Okay, it's a very parallel message between the two. In fact, Rabbi Shaul quotes this passage from the Tanakh in Romans chapter 1. You don't have to turn to it, but it's Romans 1:16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from trust to trust, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by emunah, by faith. So he's quoting this passage that we just read in Habakkuk. Very interesting. Same author who talks about the same writer who writes about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, all three of these in Romans 1:17, all three of these, the same Greek word, pistis, meaning faith or faithfulness. All three words that are in that. It's translated sometimes as trust, but it's the same exact Greek word. We read how this word and its Hebrew equivalent, emunah, describe an attribute of God in both the Old and the New Covenants. Rabbi Shaul is hearkening back to this passage and says, yes, 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 the good news, I'm not ashamed of it, it's powerful. Why? Because, man, the righteous live by emunah, faith. And in other words, we live by it. Our actions validate or connote or communicate the fact that we believe it, that we are persuaded by it. And therefore, you see the fruit. It's all connected if you see the big circle. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. 2 Thessalonians 3. It's an interesting, almost like one of these a Venn diagram, I think it's called, where it's, you know, got lots of points that are all connected to a central point, all connected and intersect each other. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, again, I'm going to the NASB on this one. It says, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. It says that God is faithful. It's interesting because it's one of the reasons, this is in Thessalonians here, this is in the New Covenant, it's the same Greek word that's used as faith, right? Exact same Greek word. But 2 Thessalonians clearly teaches us, and other places in the New Covenant, that although it is the exact same word that is most of the time translated as faith, there is a difference and a nuance to it because it says the Lord is faithful, okay? Again, same Greek word, but it's an understanding because obviously he doesn't have to have faith. He is God, okay? He knows himself, if you will. Not to say he doesn't, but the point is that he doesn't require, no, God is faithful and will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Faithfulness is an attribute of God himself, okay? Same word here in the Greek. In other words, friends, he does not fail. He does not fail. Period. End of sentence. There is certainty here. You can count on God. See, it says he is faithful to us, my friends, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Someone say amen. I know you want that. Me too, oh precious God. Lord, I humble myself before you. Lord, protect me. Strengthen me. Protect me from the evil one. Back to the Torah, Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Wow, these passages of scripture are so powerful. And I'm kind of finishing painting you a message from the word on a art canvas that should give you a descriptor of God, his nature, the fact that he is faithful, the fact that it is a fruit of the Spirit. of faithfulness that we need it in our lives, what the meaning of it is, the basis of it is, how it works. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that Adonai your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant kindness for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commands." Mitzvot. Wow, very interesting. The faithful God, Ne'eman, it says there, also translated the same as the fruit that we read in Galatians when you look at the Septuagint. Exact same word translated there. In this case, a variation with Ne'eman from Emunah. All this to say that the fruit of faithfulness is an attribute of God that creates in you an assuredness that is unshakable. If you truly are growing this fruit, the fruit of faithfulness, the more you grow this in your life, the more you will have an assurance that becomes unshakable. Sometimes people wonder, how is it that you can make it through hard or difficult situations? Well, somebody's been growing some fruit. You hear about this. Sometimes people, you know, I think about even some famous people recently who've gone through some really hard things in the believing community. How can they have that kind of strength and that unshakability? They've grown some serious faithfulness fruit, y'all. Do you feel the certainty in what faithfulness is? I've got a nugget for you. Damien, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to charge extra for this. It's a nugget, though. And once I really fully discovered it, I was like, wow, that's so cool. I got to share that with the congregation. I just thought it was pretty neat. Here's a golden nugget. What we're talking about, the word faith in Hebrew is emunah. That means faith. It's beautiful. I'm going to give you the roots of the word emunah, faith. The root of that word is also the root of another word, amen. So cool. Wow. Catch that. When you say amen at the end of your prayer, it is a poignantly faithful thing to do. It is a faith-filled thing to do. Why? Because saying amen, along with having faith, emunah, within it, there is certainty. Amen. So be it. May it be fulfilled. Other definitions would be true. I believe it. These are all definitions of amen. Related so much to faith. Believing it in an unshakable way. When you pray, y'all, when you pray to the good Lord, pray with all sincerity. And then when you finish with amen, it's not just merely like in an email saying bye or see ya, or, you know, it's not a period at the end of the prayer. No, you're making a statement when you say amen. You are making a certainty statement that is related to the word faith, emunah, in terms of the root of this, of the exact same word. Very, very powerful. It's a great way to end a prayer. In fact, Talmudic scholars even interprets amen as an acronym, El Melech Ne'eman, same word we read in Deuteronomy, God, faithful king. I like that. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of faithfulness. In Galatians 5, y'all, the fruit of faithfulness is living life as amen. I am persuaded. Therefore, I believe. And as I believe, I will do. It's interesting. This past Yom Kippur, something happened that none of you are aware of. And it's particularly important for all of you who are watching online, actually. This past Yom Kippur, just a few days ago, our streaming computer suddenly overheated right before the service. Y'all, this is not good. It's like thousands and thousands of people. Our Yom Kippur service, we're seeing the two services combined, something like close to 5,000 people. What? But our streaming computer, right before the service, goes meow and cuts out. And we're like, oh no, what in the world's going on here? And it turns out it was overheating. The fan inside the computer, it broke. And so it was overheating. So who stepped in to save the day? Our sound director, Chris. He's the one who stepped in to save the day. And he got that thing opened up right before service. He's scrambling. He gets another fan just blowing on that thing to try to resurrect it. And he did. And time after time, Chris has shown himself to be faithful. But friends, this doesn't simply mean that he is reliable. That's not what faithfulness fully means. Now, it encompasses that too. You got to be reliable if you want to be faithful. Okay, but faithfulness is much more than just simply reliability. What faithfulness really means is that Chris is convinced by God as to what is true, good, and important. Chris is persuaded by God that we should follow the words and teachings of his Messiah, Yeshua, which command us to serve. To serve. Therefore, out of his resolute trust and belief, he then proceeds to essentially be a hero to us in serving so regularly and so faithfully. It's interesting. I mentioned that we were enjoying some time in the Bethel Sukkah. I've just brought my family and I had dinner in the Sukkah last night. It was just our family, the only people here. We were on campus. I had already had this sermon done earlier in the week. It was long since put to bed, what I was speaking about today and everything. And so we were just enjoying Sukkot, coming in the Sukkah here to have dinner. It was just our family who was here. But there was one other car in the parking lot. And I'm like, what in the world? Who else is here? And I go downstairs here in the building, and there is Chris fixing the computer, putting a new fan on it. No, I had no idea he was going to be here. And I saw him, and I have to admit to you, I chuckled. I said, wow, that's hilarious, Chris. He's like, what is it? What is it? And it takes a long time. You install new software or new hardware, and I just started chuckling, and I said, wow, Chris. He's like, oh, what is it, Rev? I said, that's what you'll find out on Shabbat. Faithful, man. That's faithfulness. Golly, God bless him. That's so amazing. I love that. You see how this works? So, friends, perhaps others are not as faithful. Well, the core issue is that they don't trust in God enough to send it. You got to send it, as the young people say. Without that, there is not certainty. See, the more certain you become, which is what faithfulness is related to, the more giving it all you're going to be. That amen spirit, amen, amen, that resolve that comes when someone is divinely persuaded. Is it easy to get off track some? For sure. That's why we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. We're challenged to cultivate and to plant that fruit. This is what we're called to do. This all brings us to Rabbi Roberts' quote, and that is this: the world rewards success, God honors faithfulness. Them's the facts, friends. Slice it any way you want to dice it. Listen, Elon has $500 billion. That's a real figure. God bless him. That's nice. That's well and good. Once we get to heaven, check out where Chris is living. Check out where Paul and Jean B are living. Check out where Mr. and Mrs. G are living. Faithfulness, my friends. God honors faithfulness. Being faithful means that you are not inconsistent or prone to blow in the wind. It also implies loyalty, reliability. Why? Because if you are persuaded, if you think about this for yourself, and it's going to make some sense to you, if you are persuaded, if you are so fully convinced of something, then you'll not hesitate to be all in, because you're on board. You're fully convinced. On this Sukkot, we need to grow the fruit of faithfulness, because we need to become more resolved in our faith and not wishy-washy. What was happening in my parents was not merely them choosing to now go to services. It wasn't simply like, well, okay, we're going to make a decision. Now we're going to go to services. That's what we're going to do. No, no, no. That's not what was happening in their lives, inside of them. This was not for show. This was not out of some kind of obligation. My parents were so very transformed by what God had done in their lives. They came from absolute darkness, friends. They were so transformed about what God had done in their lives that they were almost driven to be in God's house and learn more of Him. Do you see? They were so persuaded that it comes out as faithfulness. They were so persuaded that what God was doing was real and the things that were happening in their lives was real, and they almost couldn't help but take action with their feet. People would definitely have described them as faithful, and this was true, but the motivation is key in understanding what they did. So, beloved, get into the Word, increase your prayer life, be around others of faith so that your own faith is increased. And as you trust in Him more, you'll find yourself becoming more faithful to Him. The more you get into it, the more you're convinced, the more you're persuaded, the more you start swimming in the waters, the more faithful you will become. As you trust Him more, you'll find yourself becoming more and more faithful. See, friends, if the Ruach is in you, then part of the evidence that you are giving His Spirit free reign within you is that you will exhibit His fruit. And one of the biggies is faithfulness. It's a state of being that manifests itself in objectively faithful behavior. So, friends, concluding, really, faithfulness is core. It becomes less a choice that you make and more of a natural expression of who you are. Right? When you're faithful, it just seems like you're going about your life. It doesn't seem like you're doing anything special. You're just breathing. Growing this faithfulness fruit more means your walk is stronger and more consistent, and that's especially appropriate this time of year. Beloved, it's Sukkot. We're celebrating the fruit harvest. It's time to grow. This year, let's purpose to have a harvest of fruit. And so the title of my message is Faithfulness Fruit. Let's grow it. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart. If that's you, then how about today? If you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to, raise your hand if you've never given your life to God. Just wave your hands to me. I know we've got all Mishpacha in here today, but if you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua, just wave your hand. We'll pray. Maybe you're watching online and have never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. Repeat these simple words after me. God will change your life, transform you. Just silently say, Dear God, I humble myself before You. I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe He's risen again. Please forgive me my sins, God. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for You. Thank You, God, in Yeshua's name. If you said that prayer for the first time, if you're in the room, please see me after the service. I want to rejoice with you in the season of our joys, Zman Simchatenu. If you're watching online or on the podcast, please send us an email so we can rejoice with you. Lord, I pray for our congregation. Lord, I am asking humbly, God, here in 5786, have more a big harvest of faithfulness. Lord, let this next year between this Sukkot and next Sukkot, let it build within our congregation more and more faithfulness. Let our faithfulness grow, Lord. Faithfulness to you, most importantly, but to each other as we love each other also. But Lord, let our faithfulness fruit grow, Lord. This is our humble request. God, we thank you so much for Sukkot, for the blessings that you've put upon our heads. Lord, and let us turn back our blessings into praise. Thank you for these things, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.